welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
But life is worth the living. If you want to know why, I'm going to answer your question. God's got a plan for your life. It was established and formed before the foundation of the earth was laid. When God planned His family, He planned you and He planned me. God, who in the beginning knew the end, He knew where you would be at any particular time. He knew the circumstances that would exist where you were and how He could use you to bless somebody to fulfill His plan and His purpose. The deposits He's placed in us vary. The giftings of God in you and I vary. But they're all to one end. There's not one any greater than the other. They're all there to magnify Him in the lives of people that they can come into a relationship with Him as God, truly God. The God that so loved the earth that He gave His own Son. You and I have a future that's valuable and important. That important that He was willing to give His own Son. There's not one of us here that would be willing to give your son for me. Or daughter, there's not one of you. And that probably relates to me too. I'm just trying to get an open door a little bit wider into a revelation of how great our God is in the now for you and me. He's not a historical God. He's not a yesterday God. He is a now God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. With Him, the Bible says there's no variableness, nor shadow of turning. You can't even see like you could the sun on a dial, the shadow move. He doesn't even move one iota. He is always, always the same. He is love. And that love governs every one of His actions. Even in correction, He has love, grace, and mercy. They're His names. And because He lives, life is worth the living. Why? Because your best days are probably in front of you. You know, through my Christian life, as a being in the ministry, I've already said there were times, many times, that I was walking away. For whatever reason, I was walking away. I couldn't take any more. I couldn't take any more. But I honestly want to tell you this, from one time to another, and I may yet have some other times come in my life where I want to go. But I want to tell you, with my looking back with hindsight, I am so thankful that I kept my hand in His. Even when it seemed I couldn't, even when it seemed that this was the end of the road for me. And I'm not going to be specific in any one of those areas, because there have been so many. Some have involved people. Some have involved people of confidence. Some have involved simple circumstances. But I want to tell you something I've learned. It's this. And it's in two key divisions. One is this. God loves you. Doesn't matter who you are and what you are. You could be here this morning unsaved, an unregenerate person that lives the life the way you want to live it. I want to tell you, He loves you. And He gave His Son for you. It still stands. It still stands. It will never end until Jesus comes back again. Until His feet breaks the crown of the Mount of Olives and He comes back again, until that time, it will never change. Hallelujah. He's got a plan for your life. He loves you, and He's got a plan for your life. That plan is perfect. That plan does two things. It causes joy unspeakable. I'm talking about the plan. I'm talking about the plan is when it's allowed to function. Though you don't know what it is. When you, yes, according to the scripture, literally walk by faith. When you just walk by faith, but you believe in God. You just walk that way. Because you do that, because you fulfilling that beautiful song that was written by the Gaithers, realize that you can face tomorrow. Why? Because He's in tomorrow. Hallelujah. He's in there. The other side of that coin is there is one force committed to stopping you having tomorrow. He wants to divert you from the purpose and plan of God for your life. I'm no different to you. I don't know what your heart's desire is that God would do with you or what you've invited Him to have His way in. I have no idea what your future looks like in your own heart. But I know this, that God's got a plan for you. And as I look back, there is nothing... You've heard me say, I wanted to be the chairman of ICI. Long time ago now, where did I first been a Christian in the early in the ministry? Long time ago, I've said this, I would not stoop to be the chairman of ICI today. That's been the case for years. Is that right? I would not stoop. There was a time when I did everything in my power as a Christian to go where I wanted to go. I wouldn't stoop to be there. That couldn't give me what I have today. I'm not talking about practical things. I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about life. Life. A life that has revelation in it. You can't miss it because it's the abundant life of God by His Spirit in me and in you. Wouldn't stoop to it. You see, with my God, all things are possible. There is nothing that can be scrubbed out of the way, moved as impossible. Forget it. If God's declared it and promised it, it's possible. You have an enemy that wants to rob you of your purpose for being alive. God has had a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Do you know, I nearly missed the ministry. You've heard me share that at times when I've touched my testimony. I nearly missed the ministry. Is this correct? I nearly missed the ministry because I looked at John Nabby and I looked around me and saw other people born again. People who seemed to be nicer people than John Nabby was. People that seemed to have it together. People that knew some of the Bible or could quote it or acted like they knew the Bible. People that could pray. People that could communicate in these circles. And so for 2 years, I resisted the voice of God speaking, calling us into the ministry. Is that correct? 2 years. You've heard me say too, I never want to live 2 years like that again. The hardest years I've ever lived. I want to tell you, never lose touch of the Savior. He's the most precious person. I don't want to use the word thing. There is nothing more precious, more valuable, nor awesome, as wonderful as your Savior and mine. Never lose sight of it. Never. For anything, never lose sight of it. Never let go. When I read that this morning, as I said, that tear just came inside of me, and I lived a little bit of their pain. The Gaithers, if you haven't read it, you'll read it. And now they felt so hurt and so broken. I don't think there's anyone here that hasn't been there in some shape or form. Some more than others, maybe. But it's a painful thing. We all understand what it is to feel so isolated, so alone, facing what seems to us, through the circumstances that are around us, such an impossible situation that there is no way out or no way through it. But my God and yours, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Hallelujah. What He did for you yesterday, He'll do for you again. You know, I love to sing. It's a pretty new song to me, but I'm thankful we sing it. What's the first line of "You Can Do It Again"? Sorry? I'm sorry? "Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. You've seen you move the mountains. You can do it again." Something, every time we sing that, and not just that, but certainly that, something will rise up within me with such exaltation of praise to God. I'm going to see Him do it again. I'm going to see all the things He's done. Do it again. There's never a time that He can't. The only hindrance Him not doing it is you and me. I want to stay humble. Prostrate yourself before Him and let Him know that you know He's God and you need Him and He loves you. And let Him know that you trust Him. Faith is not here. Faith is here. And it flows out of there. Hallelujah. And so all the stuff that they went through, because of that, they were able to come aside together and write such words of the song we've just sung. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. You can, you know. I've proven it time and time again. You can. You can. Sometimes we pass by one another and we know who each one is, and we pass by and, well, they're the same person. They're wearing different clothes today, but I've seen them in those clothes before or whatever. In other words, it's normal. I know who they are. But you don't know what's happening inside of them. You don't know what sets of circumstances are surrounding them, what's there, like some unseen hands trying to just pull them down below the water level and keep them there. You don't know it. You and I only know it when it's us. But we have a God, every one of us do, a Father, one that loves us, a Savior who never leaves us nor forsakes us. Hallelujah. That enables us to agree, and there's not one of us that could disagree with the words that were penned as a result of their encounter with the devil's attack upon their lives. I can face tomorrow because He lives. He's alive forever. Hallelujah. He is the eternal I am. And you know, I'm born again. And I'm alive forever. Now, some of you are going to scratch your head and have a problem with that, but of course you think I'm talking about my body. It's just my house. The you and me, as we've talked before about our spirit beings. We'll talk about it again if you want to, but I say that simply because the sort of looks I'm getting when I made that statement, it left me thinking, wow, all this took a moment of time just there, just a few minutes ago. It made me think that, well, maybe I haven't got through to them, that they are spirit beings. And this body that we're housed in is not what it's all about. It's about me who lives in it. Hallelujah. Do you know that this body is totally dependent upon this spirit man? Oh, yes. To live in this planet that we are in today, this spirit man needs this body to get me around. But you know, this body needs this spirit man to get the getting around. This body's got some difficulties through sickness, disease, through circumstances that come against it. I'm not just talking about physical circumstances. Maybe financial circumstances. Maybe people circumstances. Maybe job circumstances. Needs the spirit inside of me, because the spirit inside of me, you see, in anyone here that's born again, is not a carnal spirit. It's the spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. He's alive in me. And we can sing the song, because He lives, As we've just started saying, I can face tomorrow. I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you today. It doesn't matter what you're facing. Doesn't matter whether it's sickness, disease. Doesn't matter if it's poverty. Doesn't matter whether it's domestic issues. You're a winner. You're a winner. I think somebody, I can't remember if I'm correct, and if I am correct, who it was, but I think somebody made a statement to me somewhere along the line and say, I disagree with that. And that is a text I had, and I think we have it on my highlights, even to this day, I'm not sure, that we cannot lose for winning. Is that still on our highlights? We cannot lose for winning. That's a fact, church. With God on your side, you're a winner in every circumstance, in every setting. When the enemy comes against you, you've got a Savior that there has already triumphed over him. He is under his feet. You've heard me say, maybe, you know, Hillary and I, when we pray, before we read the Word and share and even pray, we read and declare the Word of God in Ephesians 1. And we pray, Lord, grant to us a spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of yourself, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, the saints, his, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards us that believe, according to the working of your mighty power that you worked in Jesus when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your own right hand. We carry on saying, and you placed all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. And then we invariably will not end up, and it's not planned, it just comes out. Hallelujah. And what comes out? That's where we are. We are there in you, Lord Jesus, on the right hand of the majesty on high, by all that you've accomplished. That's where we are. We are seated in heavenly places on the right hand of the majesty on high in Christ Jesus, far above every principality, every power, every sickness, every disease, every poverty, every problem. In other words, and we say, the devil is under our feet because he's under Jesus' feet. Hallelujah. You and I have got to get hold of this. You've got to use this mouth more to confess the word than the circumstances. The circumstances is the testimony and the expression of your enemy, Satan. Every negative circumstance that you have around you, you could put the devil over it. That's what you could do. But you know, you are filled with so many opportunities to put Jesus on the throne of everything, because he is. He is. Now, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? You know, you can know the word back to front. You can quote every scripture for every circumstance. But I'll tell you this, it will do you no good at all. It'll do you no good at all. Until you take that word and you speak it to the circumstance and confess it in the circumstance, knowing the word will do you no good. It's the word, which the Bible says is a sharp, two-edged sword, that when you speak it out, when you declare what God says about this situation, and it's always opposite to the circumstances you're in, when you speak God's word, you start opening the door for the delivering angels to come. And you know that you have Hebrews chapter 1, verse 20 or 21, you have ministering angels that belong to you personally if you're a Christian. And those angels, when you speak those words, go out on your behalf, hallelujah, and do the damage to the enemy. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. What does it speak? It speaks what God has said. You've heard me say before, in Hebrews 4, where it talks about The word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit. That word two-edged sword in the Greek actually reads a doubled-tongued sword. Isn't that interesting? What does that mean? What's so special about a double-tongued sword? Well, a sword is something that achieves its objective. And what God has spoken is true and will always achieve its objective. And when you and I say what God has said, we now have a double-edged... God said it. When I take it all on and I speak what He has said into my circumstances, we now have a double-edged sword that will take hold of and destroy all the strategies and the works of the enemy. Is that okay? Believing the word's not enough. You've got to say what God says about the circumstances you find yourself in. You've got to deal with it with the power of God. And miracles will take place.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.